Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Ray.
I'm Alex Reed.
Okay, well, welcome back to another episode of
No Sleep. Yeah.
Hello guys, and welcome back to another episode of Mostly Lit.
Welcome back.
How have you been, Alex?
Been good.
Yeah?
Been good. Been very tired, but been good.
Been very tired. How's your week?
What you been up to? Week's been good. Just been working. Been steadily grafting away on projects.
You're saying grafting now. Is this your part of your Love Island rhetoric?
Oh my God, I didn't know Love Island like that. Like, I've been literally just...
I fully watch Love Island.
I don't.
Guys, RIP, Yawande, our good sis left. But don't worry, when this episode drops, you know that we got two girls up in that building. And we also have a very painting from North London. Called OV. Hey, honestly, first of all, I want to know. I want to know, like, when I first saw him, I thought that he was American or he had some American water in him. Men like that do not exist in this England.
He has to be American.
Right? One, 6 foot seven.
6 foot seven playing basketball.
And also, your body's like that, and your face, your jaw can cut me. Like, your teeth are like that. Your nose is just saying,
But yeah, my week has been good.
Yeah.
My week has been good. Nothing much really to report. Just been editing. Obviously, I'm editing. I'm shaping a culture book for Nights Of, and that's going as it's supposed to be going.
Yay! When are we expecting that out?
I think the release date was said to be October, so that has to be double checked. But we will see.
I can't wait to come to the launch party.
Yeah, it'd be good. Yeah, so shout out to Slider Cuts, shout out to Nights Of, and yeah, that's kind of what I've been working on, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? How was your week?
So my week was really good, but also like really stressful, just work-wise. But, excuse me, yesterday I went to the Bradford Literature Festival, and I was on the literary podcasting panel.
Okay.
With Octavia from Literary Friction, yeah. Anna from Stylist. Oh, and I forgot the other woman's name. I feel terrible. But yeah. And then I also was on a panel with the lovely ladies over at their, I was going to say their eyes were watching God. I wish I was on a panel with her, our very own Hurston. It's Not About the Burka Girls. And it was amazing. We had a really great discussion on feminism, Islam, and obviously the patriarchy always comes through. Yeah. And then I saw the lovely Amy as well. So she was up there as well. And I sat in on her panel in Women and women in publishing. Yeah, it was like a really nice, it was like, bro, I came home, yeah, in the evening, I was like, I am tired.
Yeah.
Like, Bradford is actually far away.
But how long was the journey?
My train was from 7 a.m. and I got there at 10. Mm. I had to switch over in Leeds.
Okay.
And this weekend's weather, woo, it's been tight. Mm. It's been hot. I don't really like hot, like 30 degrees hot in England though, because 30 degrees hot in England doesn't have wind.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Island.
Yeah.
Proper colonialism things there.
No, I hear that.
They don't deserve, God's like, well, you don't deserve breeze. I'm going to let you fry. Yeah, so that was my week. Bit of a stressful week because of work-wise, and just I'm working on some, and it's like stressing me.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that's going to work out. And when it does, you won't hear the end of it.
It's true. It's one of them ones.
Yeah, it's a big one.
You got to keep it under wraps.
Yeah.
Keep it going. All right, let's get on with the show.
Fabulous.
One sec. Make sure that you get our tickets for the London Podcast Festival this year. It's on Thursday, the 12th of September. Get your tickets. It's going to be at 7 p.m. So you come after work, grab a few drinks, come to the festival.
Hopefully, I'll be unemployed.
Why?
I'll be on quality leave.
Yeah, and you can come to the festival and just watch us like cut it up and talk about all things lit.
So you fully, guys. I know that I've stressed this last time that you have to buy tickets, but you actually have to buy tickets.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say in it.
Yeah.
Because
you don't know about this one. So
I don't want to hear nothing.
So basically, so come through and yeah, let's get on with the show. So this episode.
Yeah.
Is
It's like whatever. It's like books.
It's been a long few weeks. So
it's like books.
We're gonna do a mashup of what you read in plus the summer reads that you guys deserve for this year, and we're gonna go through those. So first of all, what are you reading, Ray? And what have you been reading this week?
Okay, so this week, your girl Raifa Rafiq has been reading My Dark Vanessa, a book by Kate Elizabeth Russell. I have been talking to you guys about this book since last episode. And yo, it is blimmin' fantastic. It's so good.
It's so good.
It really turns your head. It's
going
to step on all your toes. It's stepping on all your toes. Do you know?
Why are you doing a Scottish accent?
Oh, I thought that was an Irish one.
No.
Tings.
Okay. What the one word?
Stepping on all your toes. Is that
That sounds very Scottish to me.
Really?
Yes.
I'm trying to do Northern Irish. That's Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland. Girls, I got a text. I'm trying to copy Maura.
Listen,
so thirsty. Anyways, Kate Elizabeth. Russell wrote a book called My Dark Vanessa. Last week I told you guys it really just touches on the Me Too movement. It touches on what it means to be sexually abused. What is sexual abuse? Consent and all them things there. A lot of like reviews have been talking about it or putting it next to Lolita.
Oh yeah, I remember.
And Lolita is very, very disturbing. But I think the reason why Lolita is a bit disturbing is because obviously the girl is so young.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here the girl is young. Obviously she's underage. She's 15 when she first, gets in a relationship with a man in his 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the guy's 45 and she's 15. And at the beginning they talk about how
45 and 15.
Yeah. So apparently there's a 30-year difference between them. Yeah, he's 45. And in the beginning, she talks about how, like, you know, it was so perfect. The fact that it was so, like, complete and rounded that there was a 30-year gap. And you're reading it feeling disgusted, right? Because it's, like, things that you know is wrong. But with the way abuse works in that moment, you think it's right. And so you can tell that this woman is messed up.
Mm.
It's dark and twisty because you don't understand the, like, a lot of the times when you get into these types of relationships that are messy and dark and ugh, you don't see it. You don't see the picture until you step out.
Yeah.
So I think reading it is so disturbing, but it's very much, obviously, it's, I think it's very, it's more accessible than Nabokov's novel. That's why I wouldn't, I personally wouldn't really put it next to Lolita.
Okay.
But because I think that this one gives voice to the victim.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is what maybe it would have been like to be in Lolita's shoes.
Mm.
Obviously a much older, like a teenage one.
Okay. Okay. Where is it set again?
Well, she's in, I don't know, you know. Definitely England.
Okay.
But she's,
so a British novel.
Yeah, but like she talks about going to boarding school and stuff. Mm. So I'm like, is it States? That's one thing actually that I was like,
yeah,
trying to hard to like pinpoint.
Okay.
But then in the beginning she talks about working in England and like she talks about stops. So I'm like, maybe she moved over. But yeah, it's a really, just personally, I'm backing this novel for next year. Like this is, for me, unless something comes out that beats it,
mm-hmm.
or like, I mean, I'm talking quickly here, but like, let me finish it.
Okay.
And when I finish it, I will say it, but I do think that this is going to be that book next year that's going to sweep up on all the awards.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's going to be that book.
And it's Fourth Estate, so they tend to be really good with like the, the books they put out.
Yeah.
And the kind of,
and I can tell that this book is getting a lot of backing because I saw it like advertised a while back. There have been loads of people that have received advanced copies like I did, and there's been chatter. So when it does get released, I think it's going to do really well.
Yeah. Okay. And that's My Dark Vanessa by Kate Elizabeth Russell. Okay, cool. Yeah.
What are you reading?
So I just finished a book.
Oh, yes.
I've been raving about for like the past week and a bit.
Yeah.
He's
messaged me personally. Go and read it.
Like, read it. It's called Lewis and Louise, and it's by Julie Cohen. And it's kind of like, have you seen Sliding Doors? Gwyneth Paltrow, you've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's basically like a, it's kind of a similar way that you watch Sliding Doors, you know, one part happened, another part happened. But what Julie does in this book, she basically, she tells two stories based on the same person. So in one side of the story, Louise is born.
Mm-hmm.
And on one of the other side of the story, Lewis is born.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, they both have exactly the same best friends growing up. They
So it's like the same people? The
same people. So like they have the exactly same best friends growing up. They have they go to the exact same school. They go to the exact, you know what I mean? There's two different, it's the same story, but two sides, two different stories.
But then how is it? Is it like that she does Louise?
Yeah, yeah. So basically,
Louise's chapter.
Yeah, yeah. So she'll do Lewis's chapter, and she'll do Louise's chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And when she's doing them neutrally, she calls them Lou. So
it's as in, like, so it's the same things that happen to both.
Yeah, but like when you look at it, you think, and there's like one big devastating moment that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you look at it, they have one neutral moment, and it's kind of like, well, this is the reaction that the parents have when it's a girl, and this is the reaction the parents have when it's a boy. Certain things are done differently. You see how X happened at like what 10 when she was a girl, and what happened at 10, the way it happened at 10 when he was a boy, and all this different stuff. The very interesting thing about it is because it's like it's very, it makes you put into perspective gender and how things are so gendered in our community and in our life and our society as well. And it's very, very super book. Like, it's so tender. It's written beautifully.
Yeah.
It's easy to digest. It's not like...
So this is also going to be a big one next to My Dark Vanessa.
Yeah. I don't even know whether it came, like...
It's out, no?
I don't think it's new, though.
Yeah. Oh, it's not. No, it was published Jan 14th this year. Jan 24th.
It was published this year?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. No,
by Orion,
Oh, we do well. So we're talking about next year. So yeah, it might do really well in the awards and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's...
I don't know how you've heard it, because I saw someone tweet it only recently.
Yeah,
though.
I think I'd seen it kind of like pop up, and I read it, and I read the blurb, and I was like, oh, this is really interesting.
Yeah.
But I just thought, let me... Cause I was just getting back into my Kindle again, and I was like going through Amazon, and I just saw the book.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like, it's very striking. It's like, it's pink.
Pink and blue.
Pink and, is it pink and blue?
It's pink and blue, yeah.
It's pink and blue. It's like cut in half in a triangle.
Yeah, Louis is the pink side and Louise is, well, they kind of mesh together,
so
yeah.
You kind of
think
to yourself, like, and it makes you really look at gender and just think, like, how, and it, for something as small and subtle as mothers and their sons and fathers and their daughters, just a complete
different
U-turn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'll say this final bit before you read it because I know that you want to.
Yeah, I
want to
read it.
But like, if there's two people born with the exact same family and the exact same best friends, how does that differ when they are different genders? So their best friends are these twins called Ali and Benny.
Mm-hmm.
So Alison and Benedict.
Is it that the boy is maybe closer to the boy?
I know it's a question. Then it's the relationship between the girl and the two and the boy and the two.
Yeah.
And it's really crazy. Like it's a nice read. Definitely a nice read, but it does make you think a lot.
Yeah.
And it absorbs you as well. She writes so clearly.
Mm.
She's writing very clearly, very gently.
Yeah.
And it's very clever in what she does.
Does it have a happy ending? Or a neutral ending, or is it like a anticlimax?
I think the ending is gentle.
Okay.
The ending is a gentle ending.
I can take that.
It's quite a gentle book to read. Like it's a very, very, like, you can just sit on the tube and just read it.
Okay.
And it's just nice.
It's a nice book
to read.
Fabulous.
So yeah, like, I think that go and get that. That's what I would suggest.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna do the summer reads right about now.
I haven't actually got mine.
You haven't got,
but you can continue. I've got one.
You got one.
Yeah.
Okay, so definitely on that summer reads list, I would put Lewis and Louise.
Yeah, and I would also put My Dark Vanessa.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone.
So I think that's something that everybody should go out and get. Let me just get my one up.
Yeah. Yeah, what is your
first? So the first one I'm going to do is called The Clapback by Elijah Wah. He recently just released his book, his first book, and it's basically talking about, kind of how, like, obviously the word clapback is obviously the, you know, within the culture, clapping back and retorting. Reading someone for filth, like retorting or kind of responding to something that quite negative in a defensive way, if that makes any sense. The definition he put down here was responding to an often ignorant notion with a withering comeback with the aim of shutting it down.
Yeah.
So
how to call out harmful black stereotypes.
Yeah. So he said this book, he basically wrote that, examines the evolution of the negative stereotypes towards the black community and arms you with the tools to shut them down once and for all, taking readers on a journey through history and providing facts and detailed research. This is an eye-opening and refreshing look at race and language. So I feel like we're seeing a lot of these kind of books coming out quite, like, obviously we think like a white man.
Yeah.
It feels like it was kickstarted with, I'm no longer talking to white people.
Yeah, about race.
And it's an interesting thing. A lot of people that I've spoken to, they're very nervous about taking these books out in the street and opening
like
up
the train.
And I was like, why? Like, you should feel vindicated
in a way that is clapbacking as well.
And it also makes me think, like, we all have these kind of stories in us. Like, we're just everyone's like, if you're thinking if enough black people are writing about this, about these kind of racial encounters, these kind of microaggressions, these upsets that we go through, and there's so many things. You've got Nels' one, which talks about in the workplace.
Yeah.
The Clapback, which is talking about just in general society.
In general, like, how can you deal with this rubbish?
You've got a black woman's perspective through one no longer talking to
white people about race
and all that stuff. And it's like, all of that stuff is, when you see so much of it happening, it just makes me think that, you know, like, we need to, there's something there that someone needs to listen to us, because, I mean, we're going to have so many voices now talking about these things. What's happening next?
I think it's very important with these stories that they reach the right audience.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, for instance, maybe this one is very like geared to black people, right?
Mm-hmm.
As in this is like a manual on, yeah, I get it. It's exhausting dealing with this shit every day.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe these tools can help. Maybe when, you know, Bobby down the road says this, maybe if, you know, Sarah's like, you don't need SPF, you got all that melanin.
Yeah.
How, do you know what I mean? Like, how do you
clap back? Yeah.
And not, because a lot of the time you get so flustered, you just don't even know what to say. Or sometimes you just go ahead and do a nervous laugh and then 10 minutes later, you're like, damn it, I should have put her in her place and said this. So I think this is really nice and practical. I also think Nels's one is obviously... is very serious, but it's satire as well. It's like making a serious thing into something that is accessible, that you can just be like, it's not, sometimes we talk about race and it's like this heavy thing, but it's important for us to talk about it. And it's important for people to know, right?
Yeah.
And I think with Nels's one, it could be given to a white man too.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
The thing, all of these could be given to the, quote unquote, our oppressors.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, I feel like a lot of them, they would make amazing things for young people to study just in school, just in general. Because if you're going to change, you want to change the way people think and the way people
act. You have to start early. Yeah.
And I think it's like, if I was reading The Clapback, Think Like a White Man,
why I'm no longer talking about race.
All of that stuff.
At like 15 in class.
In your sat year and stuff. GCSEs.
Yeah.
Writing essays.
Instead, they're giving us Holes to read.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah. I don't know what's changing now, but I feel like when we watched Holes had like the. Holes had the small amount of racism in there.
It did.
So did Of Mice and Men had the small amount of like racism in there
because it was
enough of a dose to make you realize. Oh my God, it's a bit racist.
Yeah. I remember particularly with Of Mice and Men, they said the N-word in it, and my English teacher said the N-word and said it's okay to say it because it's part of the art. And I just was so uncomfortable, but I didn't know how to clap back, you know?
But why would you clap back? You wouldn't have clapped back.
But I would have. I would have been like, if obviously having the knowledge that I do now, it's like saying it's okay singing in a song because it's part of the art. Mm-hmm. It's not okay.
Yeah.
It's not okay for you to do that.
Yeah.
And I think had I known better and had I had the courage and the confidence to, I would have been like, actually, that's not acceptable.
That's uncool, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so.
No, it's true. And I feel like it's just, you know, these books are important. And I think that with The Clapback coming out, I think it just had his release a few weeks ago. And yeah, so I'd say that's one for the summer for guys to go out and get as a recommendation. Elijah, you're doing big
things. Works at Google.
He's a
PR manager at Google.
Yeah.
He was a finalist for the Penguin Right Now scheme. This is what happens when you do these schemes. You get places.
You've got to go out there and apply.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Do it. I love it. Okay, so... on my book is a novel by Tayari Jones, author of Silver Sparrow, the New York Times bestseller, An American Marriage. This book won the Women's Prize for Fiction. And it had a really great review on The Guardian, in which they said it's a marvelous feat of storytelling. A Wrongful Conviction powers this woman's prize shortlisted novel of the Black American middle class experience. And I'm really excited to read this. I haven't read it yet, but it was actually Oprah's book club selection in 2018. And essentially, it covers the life of these newlyweds called Celestial. I love that name.
Celestial.
Yeah, and Roy. In that they live in the New South, and they're kind of the embodiment of the American dream. Mm-hmm. Roy is a young executive, and Celestial is an artist on the brink of like a really exciting career.
Yes.
She's done quite well for herself. But as they settle into kind of their routine in life, they're kind of ripped apart by circumstances that, you know, just catch them unawares,
I feel like that's just always the case.
Yeah.
It's always the case with these with black
fam,
books, you know.
Fam, it's like you're just living your life. You're just like, hey, yeah, everything's good. And then
two twos, it's
just like whoop. Whoops, girl.
A dose of reality.
Fam. And essentially, Roy is arrested and sentenced to a few years, well, actually 12 years, for a crime that he didn't commit. And even though, like, Celestial is really independent, she's kind of finds herself by her, like, alone when her, you know, man is in prison. Mm-hmm. As I was gonna say, as we do, like, I have a man in prison, fam. and she takes comfort in this guy called Andre, who is one of her really good friends and who was best man at her wedding.
Okay.
And as Roy's time comes to pass in the prison, mm-hmm. she kind of is unable to hold on to the love that she had for him before. And after 5 years, Roy's conviction is overturned. Okay. And then he returns to Atlanta, ready to get things popping. And then it's like, screw! who this?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, essentially, but, yeah, it's like it's a love story at the crux of it with
but
American politics at play.
I feel like it's one of the, like, I was kind of reluctant to pick up this book because I read the blurb and people are talking about it and whatnot. And I said, and they were like, I was like, do I want to read another book about a couple who
ripped
apart because the man has to go to prison because of some bullshit, some racist bullshit?
Oh, see, it's always some racist bullshit.
And I'm just like, why? Is this what we're doing?
You know what? This is interesting because I'm kind of in that space now where before I used to say I've had enough of reading, like, struggle narratives for the Black community, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like last year was like the climax of the struggle narrative in that I just felt like that's where it ended.
Yep.
Like, yo, I'm tired. And now I just, and it's always been the case, but it's like, you know what? Let's get it out. It's like, you know, when you just need to go to therapy for that one session to let all the shit out.
Yep.
And then the next one, you're like, all right, the next one, that's when I'm going to be like happy or lighter. And I just thought that maybe 2018 was that year of, all right, let's get all of our, like, I was going to say hood narratives, all of our hood narratives, all of our struggle narratives, all of our pain, all of our suffering, all of our, oh, we're not, did it. Because yes, it is, it's there. And, but I'm so tired.
Mm.
As in, when we shouldn't stop talking about it, but I'm tired of reading it.
Mm.
And that's like my real honest opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Legit.
I guess that's just on your bit, on your side.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
Because, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's like,
because if you're at a different place,
people should not stop writing them, keep writing them.
Yeah.
But
then I think it really it's about timeline and where you are in your life as well. Mm-hmm. If you are obviously a young 21-year-old and you haven't really been exposed to the world and you haven't really read up on things and you're yearning to kind of get this awareness and knowledge because you're seeing shit and you're treated differently outside and you want to feel connected and you want to feel like you're not alone, do it. But I think I have read far too much now. Like, for real.
Yeah.
I feel like I've read far too much. And if I read one more, I'm actually going to collapse. And so right now, I think I'm just really much about protecting my peace. Maybe I'll go back to it in a year or two.
Yeah. No, they're
you know?
And, you know, like, I feel like, it does feel like if Bill Street could talk, though, it kind of does feel like,
yeah, similar, it does. It's that narrative, tone. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, I guess, you know, we'll pick it up and see, and we'll see where we're at.
Yes.
Let us know if you wanted us to do an episode on that, because we might. I'll read it for the show.
I'll read it for the show. I mean, it's a New York Times bestseller. It won the Women's Prize for Fiction. I wasn't expecting it to, but also, shout out my sister, the serial killer, got also was shortlisted for that award.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you guys know we did an episode and we absolutely loved that book.
Yeah.
It was really nice. So yeah, An American Marriage.
Oh, Yinkan Braithwaite.
Yeah.
Is that true? Yeah.
No. And they all came down. I'm so annoyed I didn't get to go to the thing, I was working. but I think people should read this book this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm trying to find a lighthearted one next. Like, you know, like,
oh, after my one.
Lonely people. After what is it called? Ordinary people.
Yeah, after my one you're gonna need a lighthearted one.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the next one.
Oh, no.
This one I've got. So basically, I'm going to talk to you guys about trauma.
Oh, no. God. I'm tired.
Thing is, right, like, so I feel like we're seeing a lot of the word trauma lately. Everybody's talking about trauma, mm-hmm. experiences. We're seeing, we're becoming a lot more aware of our own individual traumas, because traumas manifest themselves in many different ways.
Yeah.
From as small as embarrassment when you're young.
Yeah.
To physical.
Okay, you're giving us the knowledge.
To full aggressive and aggressive trauma that leave you physically
just traumatized by
the team. So there's a book called The Body Keeps the Score, and a lot of people actually have mentioned this like over the past few years,
mm-hmm.
And I've seen it pop up like consistently just in my life,
yeah,
all the time. Like someone's mentioning it on a podcast, someone's mentioning it in a tweet, someone's mentioning it in a talk or something, mm-hmm. and I just think that I think it's a sign for me to start reading it. So the book's called The Body Keeps the Score, Mind, Brain and Body in the Transformation of Trauma. And it's by somebody called Bessel van der Kolk.
Right.
And I don't know whether it's a man or a woman, but Bessel writes about the effects of trauma being devastating for its sufferers and, you know, for future families and for future generations.
Mm-hmm.
It's a study about how to move away from your trauma, in that you don't want to continue the same cycles.
Yeah, you want to break that.
You want to break, those break chains, that cycle. Break it.
Yeah.
And I think that if you look at it from a Black perspective, like, you know, trauma is very much a part of the way that we navigate society, especially in the Western world. We navigate it through the historical legacy of colonialism,
mm-hmm.
sorry, legacy of slavery,
yeah.
And imperialism and the like. So I think that this is definitely a book for Black people to actually sit down and read, because the thing is, right, you've got those, and if you go back on a very micro level,
right,
it's like your grandparents come with a certain level of trauma that they pass on to their children, that they pass on to you.
Boy.
And it's kind of like, when do you make the decision to then not impart those same chains or those same kind of, not necessarily burdens, but those experiences onto the next generation? It's about figuring out where you stand and what you do next.
Yeah.
So like, you know, we've got, and you know, a lot of people, especially in America, they take a lot of drugs for therapies and all of those things, and they kind of recreate, like, not recreational but medical wise, they have a lot of things like Prozac and those medications available, and it's all kind of based on trauma. And especially the idea is, like, you're meant to look at your body and your body, because your body holds aspects of trauma,
mm-hmm.
in certain places, and listening to it. But if you keep ignoring it, your body is going to be the thing that shuts down. And that's the one thing that you need to keep going in life. So you need to figure out what the trauma is, because if you continue suppressing it,
mm-hmm.
your body will shut down in places. When I had a nervous breakdown in 2017.
How did that look like?
Looked like a lot of tears.
Mm.
It looked like, physiologically, I got loads of bumps on my arms, started scratching and itching and doing all of that stuff. Shallow breathing. Is it shallow breathing? Yeah, shallow breathing. Mm. So I couldn't breathe properly. Vision was blurry.
Yeah.
And all of that stuff. And my body was like, you need to figure out
what's up. Yeah.
And you need to learn,
mm-hmm.
what, from what your body's telling you. Your body's telling you you're tired. Your body's telling you you're stressed. Your body's telling you all these things. And if you're just powering on your mind alone,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to help you. And that's what I was like, because the idea of the body keeps the score is that, you know, if without your body, you will not be able to continue going. Everybody puts their mind ahead of what their body's feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm just going to go ahead of it. I'm going to just continue powering out at work because, like, I just need to do it. Mm-hmm. My body is just like, you know, that can run on 5 hours sleep, that can run on 4 hours. Mm. I can run on no sleep. You know what I mean? Mm. And you're like, I don't want to eat. I'm not drinking anything. I'm just going to let this go. It's going to FaceTime. It's going to cause time.
You're triggering me.
But then the body's like, well, I need the water.
Girl.
Feed
me, Raifa.
I need the sleep. I need the food.
Yeah.
In order for the brain to work properly.
Yeah.
So it's one of them. And then people don't listen to their bodies for a long time. Then they get stressed. And like, when I did that, I went for some tests and I was like, oh, it's showing up like rheumatoid arthritis and stuff because my body was...
Oh my God, I remember when you took this test. Yeah,
because my body was reacting to things and I was like, why is it reacting like this? And I was aching all over places because I was just stressed about so many different things. And yeah, man, the body keeps the score because once the body just says no...
That's it.
It's actually it.
Like you might as well just stay indoors.
Where are you going?
Where
are you going? Because you can't go anywhere because your body's not going anywhere.
No, I think it's major. Yeah, there's no fuel. Everything is just, it's just like, woo.
Yep.
No, I think it's phenomenal because for me, the first thing that goes when I'm stressed is my short-term memory.
Ooh, yeah, that's when you're tired.
Tired and also you're burned out. And I get burned out because I just think a lot and I just get burned out very, very quickly because my brain is literally thinking about the same thing over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So I just do not remember things that are outside of it. I'll just forget people's names. I'll forget the books of things. My speech will go as well because I'm trying to find the word for something, but I'm confusing it. So I'll be like, this glass, cup, wait. And then like, it's so, like my friends actually just have to be like, take your time. Like, it's okay.
You're going
to
get there.
You're gonna just relax.
You know, it's a mug, not a cup, not a glass.
And it's so weird because I'll start talking about something and I can't get the words out because
you're thinking so fast.
I'm thinking so much and so fast about something else. And that when that happened, I'm always like, before I used to be confused. I used to be like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's wrong with my mind? But it was just that I was stressed and I was literally like mentally unwell. And my brain was telling me, nope. And just physically, I get like, I gain a lot of weight. And I'm just like, but I'm not eating. So what's up?
What's happening?
But my body is just like, okay, well, when you're stressed or when things are happening, the first thing that you do is you don't eat.
Mm-hmm.
So now whenever I get stressed, my body knows that Rafe is not going to feed me.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to conserve everything.
Yeah.
Everything that I get, all the sugar in the tea. Oh, we're keeping that. But I know you're not having lunch today.
Yeah. I think like stress produces those kind of things as well. Yeah.
Mad. So. Your body is literally... Like, it's not even a temple at this point. It is...
It's a run-down street in the ghetto. You're basically just walking by it, looking at it. You know that tissue just that's what left there? That is your body.
Your body.
Your body's sitting there limp.
And then
it doesn't know what it's doing.
It's the thing that literally houses your soul. How dare you disrespect something that houses your soul?
At this point, it's not even a flat.
It's like, this is the thing that, and it's not even vain or whatever. It is.
It's not even a hotspot.
It's something that houses you as a human being. If like, imagine you need to know where you begin and where you end, right? Mm. You begin and where you end in the place that you are and the place that you are housed. You are always in your body. You are never out of your body unless you're having, you know, an out of body experience or them man there. And it's just like,
and it will come faster than you think.
Fam. And it's just like, you have to look after it.
Mm.
Currently, I'm really obsessed with like skincare.
Okay.
Quite very obsessed with it. Because
deep skincare. Like, you know, there's like four levels. There's like the fascia and all that stuff. That's right underneath the skin and it's a mess.
Okay. Well, I'm going for another facial and I'm going for a hydro. I want to go for a hydro facial. My friend was telling me about it. Okay. They have it at the Ned or something. Cause I'm going to go there.
Awesome.
But I'm
big money.
But I'm really into skincare and my skin isn't bad. Mm. Like I literally hardly get a spot, but I'm thinking about the future. I'm trying to be like, when I'm 60, 70, I'm trying to look like, what's her name? The auntie.
Angela Bassett.
That's right.
Kind of like all of them.
Right?
Kind of like Sterling K.
And you're out here looking like Kate, whatever. What's her name?
I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
You know the horrible racist one?
Katie Hopkins.
You know, Katie Hopkins is younger than Gabrielle Union. Legit. I think they're the same age or she's like 2 years younger.
Ew.
Isn't that disgusting?
See, obviously you just have bad vibes in your life.
Just bad. I know that vibes. When she was a kid, she was just bad vibes.
A bad youth, man.
Just ill.
Just
putting yourself in people's business.
Yeah.
You're just chatting too much.
Yeah.
You chat shit, you know?
Chat shit, get banged, bro. Basically, so the author is called, Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, and it's a man.
Yeah.
And he's the founder, and he's a founder and medical director of the Trauma Center in Boston, UK. You know when someone just lives and breathes their work, them ones. And he's, yeah, so he basically has a, in the book, it has a whole lot of case studies from mental health professionals, from clinicians and neuroscientists and all of those kind of cases. And yeah, it's about trying to connect your brain and your body again, guys. So get down and get that book. I'm going to be reading it very soon. Let me know if you want to co-read with me.
Co-read?
Wanna read with me?
Oh, that's so hot. Do you want to read it with me? That's the, that, you know, that's the type of romance that I used to like read, back in the day. But you
read,
know,
read with me.
Like, I'd read something, or I'd be like, oh, I really like this book, da-da. And then a guy would go out and read it. I used to find that shit so hot.
Really?
Yeah, and then obviously, and then I learned better.
I mean, I guess, I mean, some things are sacred.
Then I learned better. It's like, any nigga can read, or can they?
There we go.
Wow, I was such a stupid romantic. Oh my God.
All right, go for it.
So actually, this is like a book that has already been out last year. I don't even think we touched on it. But it's Milkman by Anna Burns. And I've really wanted to read this book because I quite like reading books that have won the Man Booker. And the Milkman won Man Booker last year, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it also was also shortlisted for the prize of Women's Prize for Fiction this year. And, you know, she's from Northern... She's from Ireland. I don't know if it's Northern Ireland. Northern.
It's about the Troubles.
But it's about, yeah, it's Ireland, you know, Mora. Mora's like my bloody favourite Irish woman.
Just one that she just...
And Yolanda, wow, how dare I?
No, yeah, she's from the Republic. She's from Dublin.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you very much.
But the Milkman, they just won the Orwell Prize.
Really?
Yeah. They just won. Anna Burns won.
Yeah. Oh, that's phenomenal. Top lad. So is that still?
That's Republic of.
No, but is that still, is the accent still?
I don't know what you're trying. I would stop.
So what? I can't do.
You can do whatever you like.
No, as in I can't. I'm trying to differentiate the Irish accent from the Scottish accent.
Oh. Northern Irish. Okay, I'm not going to say it because it might be offensive to people.
Like, I know that they had...
I was going to say Northern Ireland and Scotland seem quite similar in accents, like in tone. But
what's that guy in Love different. Island who's from Scotland?
I don't know.
Anton, that's
I don't,
it.
I don't know.
You don't watch it?
I don't know their names. So
don't you?
No.
I'm really invested this year. This year is lit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Milkman, just like a little about the bio, here it goes. In this unnamed city, to be interesting is dangerous.
Mm-mm.
Sounds like black men.
You didn't take whatever trauma to the book.
How can you call it trauma?
Take whatever trauma.
Oh my God, guys, I kind of... Okay, no, that's far too much stuff to share. I was talking about my swear love.
Oh God. Okay, continue with your story.
So middle sister, our protagonist, is busy attempting to keep her mother from discovering her maybe boyfriend. Sounds like a Muslim problem. Uh-oh. And to keep everyone in the dark about her encounter with Milkman. But when first brother-in-law sniffs out her struggle and rumors start to swell, middle sister becomes interesting.
No.
The last thing she ever wanted to be interesting is to be noticed, and to be noticed is dangerous. Milkman is a tale of gossip and hearsay, silence, and deliberate deafness. And it's a story of inaction with enormous consequences. Oh my goodness. So weird. This is the first time I've actually read the damn blurb.
Okay.
And I really want to read it.
Yeah. Apparently it's quite I think there's a lot of characters, but they're unnamed.
Yeah.
So it's quite, so you have to concentrate.
Yeah. Middle sister, Milkman, brother-in-law, first brother-in-law.
I think it means that it's just...
It's giving me like...
Mysterious vibes.
Yeah, but it's also giving me like...
You don't need to know their names.
Oh man, Margaret Atwood's book.
The Handmaid's Tale.
Handmaid's Tale vibes.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah.
What about...
I don't know. Like, it's just giving me, it's giving me that vibe, you know?
Okay.
Like, oppression and silence and just all like this maybe is, I don't, obviously the place is unnamed, but it could be like a, basically a dystopia, or it could be, you know, Ireland.
Northern Ireland.
It could be Northern Ireland and, No, like, I'm actually goosebumpy.
Okay, cool.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what's you guys should have seen this reaction.
Sorry. It's just, because I want to like, maybe I'll, you know, like, I think that book will be really good to read.
Okay.
But I didn't expect it to really, you know, get at me like that.
Okay, cool.
Okay, Anna Brand, come through.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, this book is amazing. It's won, well, you know, I hope it, it best be. I'm going to read it. Winner of the Man Booker Prize 2018.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, it's shortlisted for Rathbone, shortlisted for Women's Prize, shortlisted for the Orwell Prize for Political Fiction. And you're saying that it won?
Yeah, it won the George Orwell Prize, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So yeah, shout out to that.
They haven't updated it.
Okay.
They should probably do that.
Yeah.
What's your next book,
so love? My book is basically, it's all about cleaning out your life, getting rid of all the trauma. So
getting rid of all the rubbish. All why? The rubbish.
Because it's...
Because in the words of...
Ian LaVanzan.
No.
I feel like she has something very... Or Megan Thee Stallion.
Okay. Sorry, all right, man. So...
But yeah, what Megan Thee Stallion? Anyway, so what you're saying...
All I'm saying is...
Oh, as I say. Basically, so the book that I... Basically, so you clear out your trauma.
When you see me, ain't gonna do nothing. I got connections in Texas. Make my name and shoot. Sorry. Wow.
Okay, so...
Oh, God.
In what seems like a completely random contrast, the book is called The Monk. The Monk. A Monk's Guide to a Clean House and Mind.
I just want to do ratchet things with my ratchet friends.
I want to do hood ratchet.
All right, so A Monk's Guide.
A Monk's Guide to a Clean House and Mind.
Right.
By Shuke Matsumoto. And, you know, he gives you a compendium.
A
compendium. You know, we have to
big word.
We've got to move it. We got a weak ass bitch.
Compendium.
Yeah, man. Dualities. Code switching. That's what we do out here. So, just because he breaks down all these different ways to kind of just to get a clear mind. Because, you know, sometimes when you clean your house, you clean your room, you just feel a lot better. You feel a bit more comfortable in your space. You feel a bit freer.
Yeah.
Get rid of all these other negative and bad vibes, energies. Me, I have my sage and I clean out the house, open up the windows, do affirmations, start to smoke it out.
You're not the one that goes missing?
I'm not.
No. Well, you're saging. Do you just randomly disappear? Like them man in the Avengers.
Just disappeared. Like, trying to get rid of all the bad vibes, and it's just you. So you just imagine, but like,
no. Oh my goodness,
kind of scared now. Imagine if I did do that,
disappeared. You're not bad mind.
I'm not.
No, you're not.
I'm actually not.
If you're a bad mind, I'd have gotten rid of you time ago.
I
sniff out bad mind, like how I sniff coke. I'm joking. It's so funny.
It's a mess.
I'm so happy.
It's a mess. I don't know where we're at. So basically, I'm reading the blurb. It says, sweep away your worldly cares with this guide to living a cleaner, calmer, and happier life. Drawing on ancient Zen household techniques.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50,
luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Buddhist monk Kyusuke Matsumoto shows you how a few simple changes in your daily habits, from your early morning routine through meal times to last thing at night, will turn your home into a peaceful, ordered refuge from today's busy world. I think that's kind of a nice thing to have just in your house, even if you never open it. But it's just there because you have the intention. Like, I have I have Marie Kondo's...
Do you?
What's it called again? Marie Kondo in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of that stuff. I have that.
But you haven't read it?
No.
I mean, you've watched TED Talk, right?
Did you do a TED Talk? Or was it the show on Netflix? I don't know.
No, because the show on Netflix talked about her doing a TED Talk. Yeah, she did a TED Talk.
So I had it. And I'm just looking at the book. And I'm thinking the intention's there.
That's all that matters sometimes.
The intention's there to read it.
Yeah.
Sitting on my shelf. But I do need to do my recondo.
But then again, sometimes intention is not enough, you know?
She was out here talking to the... You got to talk to the clothes. You got to talk to the books.
Wait, you got to talk to them.
And give them your permission and get the permission from them to move them. I was thinking...
How do you know when they've said yes or no?
Ultimately, you have the power. You will know whether to move the thing.
All right, so if I look at like this glass right here...
I don't think it's the glass. I think it's more books because there's the words.
All right, if I look at this book right here and I'm like... What do I have to say to it?
Listen, I don't know, man.
Is it like, hello, book?
I feel like
I really want to take you away from my life.
I feel like it was asking permission to remove it.
Can I put you in the
bin? I don't know, but I think it is some real Zen stuff. And I'm just like, it's above my...
It's above me now.
It's above my spiritual level. I don't know yet.
You haven't tapped into that realm?
I'm not there yet. I'm working my way up. But
yeah.
I feel like it's a very intense... It's a very intense thing. But yeah, so, you know, sitting around in your room, making sure that your living space is clean. Once your living space is clear and clean, it gives you the opportunity to search and find clarity.
Yeah.
And I've always lived by that. Because you can tell someone's mental state by the way their house is at a given time. Sometimes. Especially if you're connected to your home like that, you know what I mean? Like my room, if it's really, really messy,
that means
it means that I've not really taken much care of my environment. And because I'm not taking much care of my environment, it means I'm not really taking much care of
you.
You know what I mean? There's not enough mindfulness there.
Yeah.
Because just going to bed and getting up is not enough.
Yeah.
You know?
So. I feel like for me, I like things to be the same.
Mm.
For a very long time, and then it's only like nothing will change. I like things to be exactly where they're supposed to be, where I've planned them to be. And it's only until I'm like, oh, maybe I should buy a cushion or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll do it. But other people, it's like, oh, I'm gonna buy a cushion and do that. But that stuff just doesn't come to me because I feel comfortable when everything is exactly where it's supposed to be. It's exactly the same as yesterday.
The same as yesterday. Yeah,
yeah, that gives me some sort of comfort.
That stability.
Yeah, I quite like that. But then, I don't know, you know.
Okay.
Interesting stuff.
I mean, I'm going to try it and then see what it is. I think I'm going to really like be on my actionable kind of bullshit this summer. Because it's a hot boy summer as well.
Oh, sorry, what are you doing for hot boy summer?
Don't worry.
I want to know.
Don't worry about what I'm doing.
Wow. For real, it's
I'm
like that.
Be just
oh my God. So I've got.
Getting this money.
I've got for you.
Oh God.
A book that is non-fiction. But the reason, first of all, it's on the Sunday Times best-selling list.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it's here. Because I've only just found this woman now on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And she's basically like an Insta person who is called like, she's she does cleaning stuff. You know, Hinge.
Mrs. Hinge?
Yeah.
Oh, Mrs. Hinge.
But not.
Is it Mrs. Hinge?
Yeah.
Okay, it's Mrs. Hinge. Why are you telling me about Mrs. Hinge?
Isn't she an Insta person?
Yeah,
but to me, I actually found out about her last week.
Oh, her book.
Yeah, she's got a book out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I didn't know about her book until like a few minutes ago. But yeah. I know her from, I literally just recently found her out from Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, so you're telling me I've been cleaning my house for free. Because I was talking to this girl randomly, like she's like an influencer. And we're talking about like PR management, talking about like press events. And like, I was like, I literally contribute to 0.89% of Fenty's global sales
mm-hmm.
just by telling people to buy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, where is my Fenty? Why am I just receiving books?
Yeah.
First of all.
Yeah.
Why am I not receiving makeup? And she was like, well, because you don't tweet about makeup. You don't talk about makeup. You talk about books. And so there's no point in somebody, you know, sending you shit if you're not even going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just giving me that PR, like, marketing background. And then she's like, okay, like, what do you like to do? Believe. I was like, I like to clean. I like to read, I like to clean. And then she's like, oh, like, do you know Mrs. Hinch? And I was like, who? She's like, yeah, like, she provides, like, cleaning stuff. I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
How do you know about her?
Just around. I've just been here. Like, I heard that she was doing this book. She was doing this book like last year. Last year. And she's just missing. I wrote something about it today at work.
Really?
Yeah. But like, she.
She just had a baby.
Yeah. But like, she cleans. She cleans, cleans. Like,
she
but
remember, cleans, cleans. She has millions of followers.
It's like, how do you. Remember How Clean Is Your House? Do you remember that show?
Vaguely.
Oh my god! And yesterday, I forgot what their names were, but they used to like these two women friends, and they used to go into these houses. Some of these houses were just some nasty
stuff. I remember the show. I remember the show.
Just some sickening things. Like, yeah. And we look at our house, and like, our house is actually fine. Everything's just the 1-2 Hoover, a bit of polish, and a wipe, polish, and a wipe down.
And a wipe here.
Some people are having eggs still in their fridge that are hatching.
Sorry, what? That are hatching?
Because like the fridge is turned off or whatever and the thing is just crying.
Sorry, you're making me itch.
Yeah, and they got dirty cookers. I was like, nah, this is a mess, but
But yeah, so Mrs. like, first of all, I feel like I'm annoyed at the fact that I've been cleaning my house for free and people are just cleaning and they're getting products. She's like partnered with like Fairy Liquid.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah. And has like bottles with like Hinch and stuff written on them. She has like, she sells products like cleaning brushes, all types of various different cleaning brushes. I'm like, you know, I'm such a damn consumer. Like, you market something to me and I'm gonna buy that.
Mm.
I'm gonna buy it straight away. But yeah, so
Hinch. You sell the lifestyle.
Listen, Hinch yourself happy. So Mrs. Hinch has a book out. I wanna know if her last name is actually Hinch.
Yeah, might be.
Yeah, because I was like, is this a new like word for like cleaning? I don't know. But yeah, all the best cleaning tips to shine your sink and soothe your soul. I'm so glad that people understand how amazing cleaning is for the heart and your soul. I love turning mess into order. It fills me with joy. How can you do that? How can you hate cleaning?
I mean, I do it.
Because you have to.
Yeah, because it serves a purpose.
Yeah.
To be clean is to.
But it's so. Clean.
But I don't find it therapeutic.
Really?
No.
I love it.
I do it because.
Me washing dishes?
I do it because I don't like mess, dirt, or untidiness. So.
I do it for that, but I also do it because I find it very nice.
Yeah, I don't. The smell of bleach.
Over 2 million followers and counting, Mrs. Hinch has just taken the nation by storm with her infectiously addictive charm, clever tidying tips, and passionate belief in cleaning. Girl, I feel like this is my soulmate.
Mm.
She kind of like in this book invites you into her home and you just discover all like cleaning, how like cleaning is perfect way to cleanse the soul. And she'll even share the story of Mr. and Mrs. Hinch and their daucious boy, Henry. I think they had another baby, another boy. I don't know what the baby's name is. I actually fully recommend this book, guys. I stand behind it.
Mm.
Go and read it for your summer. Cleanse.
Very random recommendation from you. Very random.
Cleanse your soul.
Okay.
It's all part of that. I feel like this year, for the both of us, well, actually, you started your journey very early on before me. You're kind of like...
Oh, I was on the eighth dimension.
Shut up.
No, shut up.
Wait,
I got my wings.
No, I feel like you started your kind of like spiritual growth, your like holistic, you know, endeavor maybe last year. Because when you were going through it, I was like, what are you doing? Like, relax. Like, it's not that deep. I was like, life is good. Then obviously, you know in Mean Girls?
Yeah.
In Mean Girls, when the bus just goes, that's exactly what happens to me. I was just looking at Alex like, you relax? And then the bus came and just knocked me over. And then I was like, okay, yeah, sure. I can get on this wave. So I do feel like this year, I'm very much into like holistic and...
Sorting yourself out.
Yeah.
Sorting yourself out.
And low-key, guys, I used to be so judgmental about people who do that shit because I'm like, what has to happen in your life for you to get there? It's like, relax. It's not that deep. Calm the hell down.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm such an advocate for like peace and love and growth. I've become Alex, guys. Like, I fully follow healing accounts. Like, who the hell am I?
Like, Mariam has no...
Yeah. Makes me sick. When Alex used to send me these stuff, I would be like, I sometimes wouldn't even, like...
I'm a hashtag influencer. Look at
like, me. I would... influencing the kids
about this shit.
Please, it wasn't you. You were just a gateway drug.
I was the vessel.
You were the vessel. Actually, no, you were like the pusher.
I'd just be like, oh, have you seen this?
Yeah.
I find this interesting.
I find this interesting. And I'd just be like, shut up.
And I'll just keep it pushing.
Yeah.
So the next book we have, obviously keeping on that same tip then, I found that somebody suggested this book on Instagram to me.
Yeah.
Let me find her name because I think it's respectful.
Grace, you don't want to be like Lizzo.
Yeah, Grace. Thing is, again, do you see how mad social media is? I'm not even on Twitter like that.
And yeah,
I know what's happening. It's mad. Grace Macy suggested to me to read this book called Living Beautifully with Uncertainty and Change by Pema Chodron.
Chodron,
yeah. Not a very long book at all, 161 pages.
Yeah.
Living beautifully.
Yeah.
With uncertainty and change.
I love that.
Yeah, so it's like, the description here says it's a best-selling author and spiritual teacher, Pema Chodron, shares life-changing practices for living with wisdom, confidence, and integrity amidst confusing situations and uncertain times.
Mm-hmm.
We live in difficult times. Life so often seems like a turbulent river threatening to drown us and destroy our world.
Wow, rotted.
Why then shouldn't we cling to the certainty of the comfortable, to our deep-seated habits and familiar ways? Because Pema Chodron teaches that kind of fear-based clinging keeps us from the infinitely more powerful experience of being fully alive. And that is what we are looking for. How to live fully, how to live better, how to live wholly and live beautifully.
Yeah, with us, with uncertainty, because I do feel like when you learn or when you know how to live fully and beautifully when things are like in turmoil, you've actually just won at life.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing is promised.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you smiling? Banter. Nothing is promised and like... You just, because before, to be very honest, something would go wrong and I would be paralyzed for the whole day. I'll just be sat down. I wouldn't be able to eat. I wouldn't be able to move. I wouldn't be able to do any work, concentrate, nothing. Literally, I used to be very much like that because I didn't like uncertainty. I still don't, but I think I've learned to be like, actually, this is just life.
Mm.
Life cannot be a straight line. Like consistency does not propel growth at all.
Nope.
Like, consistency is great.
I mean, I guess to a certain extent it does, but, you know.
But in terms of, like...
You have to be comfortable with...
Change.
Comfortable with difference. You have to be comfortable with being put into your... discomfort zone.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, discomfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of stepping out of it.
Stepping out of that, yeah.
Comfort zone and just really trying new things and just being able to...
Oh, my God. I love trying new things now. Yeah. Yeah. Meeting new people. It's so exciting.
Yeah, you have to. Because then obviously you get yourself caught up in this very limited and linear aspect of the human experience.
So, and then you just think all of that.
That's by Pema Chodron.
Mm-hmm.
And go, Pema.
I don't have anything else currently.
That's fine.
Like on my list. Do you have anything?
That's fine. No, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm done. So guys, that should be an
extensive list.
For you to get on with this summer.
Tell us what you think about the books.
Yeah.
That would be cute or whatever.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's move on. So, we are gonna come back with
I was so nervous.
The education of Rover Rafiq. I have three questions. If those of you don't know how this goes, I have three or four questions to ask Ray because she's just not. She's not with the shits sometimes.
Excuse me. I have really grown.
That's fine.
Okay, let's hear these questions.
So, the first question I have. On the amazing Disney Channel.
Oh my God, I failed. I don't know.
Lord have mercy.
Oh my goodness. Alex, you know me.
If you can look into the future, you'll see life was just but a dream. Life is a dream. Wow, she's looking at me blankly. She doesn't know this?
Wait. You want me to know what that is?
No, I was giving you... I was just setting up this question.
Okay, yeah, just...
You don't know who that is?
Taina?
What is that?
That's So Raven?
Right, okay.
Right, oh, sorry, I forgot.
No, you didn't get the point, because you should know this.
I forgot, but I just got Future of Raven. I actually didn't used to watch it. I saw some episodes here and there. Continue, don't judge me, I know. I'm so sorry, I know. I
was you, what was the name of Raven's best friend?
Okay, Cameron? Camille? Jason?
That was actually the right consonant that you started with, but no, it's not the name.
Cam.
Oh, God.
Camilo. Did you hear about Camilo, Lola's man, and that drama?
Camilo?
Is that his name?
Who's that?
Lola. He's a basketball player.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, outside of that, it's just some ghetto stuff. Carlos.
No.
Carrie.
No. Raven's best friend is a woman, number one.
Oh, shit. I thought it was the boy.
There were two. Yeah, there were two. Her best.
Next. What was her name?
You didn't deserve to.
No, don't.
Okay. Her best friend's name was Chelsea.
Daniels. Oh, yeah. I was never going to know. I never watched it like that.
See, this is why.
Sorry, I know.
What were you doing?
I was reading the Quran. I was...
Watching the news.
I can't even lie to you. I was... fully reading the Quran and watching. I knew all about the Israel-Palestine conflict. I was watching Al Jazeera Russian TV.
She said she was reading the Quran. I'm finished.
Like,
I can't even contest that because...
Yeah.
Do your thing.
Yeah.
You on your deen, bro.
Damn, man.
All right. Alicia Keys.
Yeah, I know Alicia Keys.
In her video, If I Ain't Got You, baby, who played her boo?
If I ain't got you, wait, some people live for the fortune. So it's not Marcus Houston. Some people live just for the fame.
How was that even connected to anything?
It's not Usher.
No, because he was in My Boo.
Yeah, he was in My Boo, that's why. Yes. I know it's not Usher. Some people live... for the physical things.
Oh, okay.
And some people want it
I'm
all.
I'm trying to... Wait, give me the answer.
I'm trying to remember, Sha. Yeah, Come on.
How would that help you remember?
It's helping me.
Okay.
Was he a white man?
No.
He was a black man. All right, we're narrowing it. Was he also a musician?
Yeah.
You have to answer these questions.
He's a rapper.
Ooh. Oh, this changes things.
I don't even know if you'll know who this is.
All right. Is he alive?
Yep. Did you watch the BET Awards this year? The Mary J. Blige's performance. He performed with her this year.
No, but I was like, I thought Mary performed with Lil' Kim.
Yeah, Lil' Kim came on and then this person.
Is it Ludacris? Is it Nas?
No.
Wait, shh.
We have 10 seconds.
Shh. It's not Snoop Dogg, because why would she do that?
I think he's too laid back for that shit. He's like, sorry, why are you singing?
Some people want it all, but I don't. I'm so sorry.
Method Man.
I don't even know who the hell that is.
I'm just like,
I don't know who that is. Method who? Let me even Google. I don't. Who the hell is Method Man? There's a rapper called Method Man?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know him.
This is why. This is the whole point of this exercise.
Right. Do I need to know him?
Yes.
He was signed by Def Jam and Tommy Boy. Who the hell is Method Man?
Oh my God. Okay.
Okay, cute or whatever. I was never gonna. No, but like, this is the point. You're showing me out, and now I know that I have to go and watch That's So Raven from beginning, so I can be part of the culture.
Yeah.
And listen to Method Man. I'm not gonna do that.
All you gotta do is watch the video and just be like, oh, that's him. Yeah.
Okay, it's so weird because I love the song.
Yeah.
Was she playing the piano now? That bitch is always playing the piano.
She always was. She was like, everything. No. I remember when the camera.
I remember when the
camera was zoomed in on her and she was like.
Oh man, Alicia Keys, home record.
She's just queen of the blended family.
Blended
family?
No, the queen. How dare you? She's not the queen of blended families.
Jada Pinkett is okay.
Thank you very much. She invented the word. She invented the concept before people were just having stepchildren and stepbabies and stepmamas. Thank you very much. Last question, right?
Speaking of Jada.
Oh, God.
In Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
What was the name of the actress who played Ashley Banks?
Oh, my God.
You've had so long.
Oh, so honestly, I never watched Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I've seen some episodes. I've seen, like, you know, the episodes that people talk about, like the episode where Will is crying. I've seen the first two episodes when it was on Netflix, when, you know, Will moved in. Obviously, I know the theme tune because, like, they play it at every, like, black event. And I just have, you know.
They don't play it every black event.
Somewhere. Like, they played it at, like, ACS. Like, guess the you know, show. And they'd play, like, Friend. And then they played that. And I kind of just, yeah. So, truthfully, I never watched Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Whenever I see the episode, I sometimes run into it. But I never religiously watched it. Just as how I never religiously watched That's So Raven. Just how I never religiously watched other black shows. But the two that I did watch, even though I'm telling you right now that I've forgotten because it was a very long time ago, is Sister Sister and Kenan and Kel. Those were my two shows.
That doesn't help you with this question. All of that?
Who? Ashley.
Ashley was played by...
I have no clue. How am I supposed to know that?
Because it's part of the culture. This is the whole point. It's the re-education of Miss Raifa.
All right. What's her name?
Tatiana Ali.
Oh, right. Because that's Fingy Ali's daughter. I knew that. It is, right?
It's not.
Guys,
this
oh my
God.
Guys, you'd be so at it.
I'm just...
You know what it is? Wow, my people are so... So I remember one time watching this show and it came up and it says Tatiana Ali. And my aunt was like, that's Muhammad Ali's daughter. And my whole life, I was like, yeah. Because I know Muhammad Ali is also a boxer, no? Like one of them. No?
Muhammad Ali, of course. He's a boxer, yes.
No, I know he's a boxer, you asshole. I'm talking about his daughter.
He's also a boxer,
yes. Yeah.
Well, retired boxer.
I thought, like, maybe this one was like an actress. I just. Wow. So, next question.
No, it's done. The next question was going to be again about Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Can you just ask it for, like.
No,
please. Let me just get one thing right.
You got it right. You just said you didn't watch it.
I know, but like, I got the other one right. I got that wrong.
Which one?
Like, Vivian, Aunt Viv, what was her profession? Remember, you asked that question the other time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I said lawyer. Yeah, I've seen some episodes, you know, the ones when she's...
We're actually done with this segment.
No, please.
I'm quite upset.
No. Okay, so how about you give me... No, please.
So your homework is
to
watch a few episodes of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It's on Netflix.
Is it still on Netflix?
It should be.
Okay. Wow.
And just watch it. I don't understand why you haven't watched it yet.
It's long now.
What?
I've watched... You know what? I watched Friends.
Ray was sitting here watching Gossip Girl when I came in. So at the end of the day, yeah. Like, what is long? You will sit down and watch Jane the Virgin. You will sit down and you watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Okay, cool. I will watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
If it's even on flipping...
That Netflix will be now. My mission. Watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and not reruns or Friends. Because remember this year, I rewatched Friends.
Yeah, just
I mean, I watched it from the beginning because I never watched
just watch it. It'd be cool.
Okay. Alex is so disgusted right now. He's like, wow.
I got like cotton in my mouth.
Are you even black?
I mean, you clearly are. But boy, got work to do. All right, so mostly flicks this week, guys. It's going to be a quick one.
Yeah, because I'm trying to watch Love Island.
Yeah. So basically, we're just going to run through what we're watching, and that's pretty much it, to be honest. I don't even know. Is it even worth doing mostly flicks this week?
Yeah, I kind of want to tell people.
Okay, cool. What have you been watching this week?
So, I have been watching When They See Us, the documentary about the Exonerated Five, produced and written and whatever by the amazing Ava DuVernay. And I finished watching it last night, crying my eyes out at like 1 a.m.
Oh, dear.
And straight away going then to watch the interview that is also on Netflix. The actors, both who were playing the young boys of the young five, the older five when they were in prison, and the actual the five men that were falsely accused of, you know, raping and leaving for dead the, you know, the jogger. Yo, fuck the police.
The government, man.
Like, just fuck the police. Like, there was one of the actors I remember saying, you know, he was acting as one of the defense lawyers for the boys. And he was like, it was so interesting just like going through the research and learning and playing this role. And because, and when Oprah was like, what did you learn about the justice system? And he was like, that it has the wrong name. That it's not justice that the system is about. I was like floored. The story that got me the most was the story of Corey. The guy that played him. The guys that that played him both when he was young and when he was older. He was the only one. And it was insane. His name is Jarrell Jerome, who played Corey. And oh my goodness.
What was his story?
Oh my goodness. Like, so essentially he got put, when he was put in prison, he was separated from the boys. The boys went to juvie. He went to adult prison. But he was still a young boy. And he, so funny because he wasn't even meant to be detained. He went to police to make sure that his friend was okay. So his friend got taken by the police, and the police were like, are you gonna come and support your boy? Like, is that what you're coming to do, or are you gonna go home? And his friend was like, no, go home. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm gonna come with you just so that you're okay, and so that your mom will kill me if, you know, I say that I've let you go by yourself. He actually went to prison, and then they just took him in. Like, he wasn't even being searched for. And then he went to adult prison, and the things, the horror. He was in solitary for so long because anytime he'd be put with everybody else, he was hated. They just beat him up. And solitary confinement, it just messed with his mind. And oh my goodness, Jarrell. The way he acted, because he kind of had to get the speech because, you know, Corey has a way of speaking, a particular way of speaking that is very, like, prominent and unique. And he was like, he had to tap into that. Such a talented young man. Like, and I think it's important that, one, I didn't know about this. I had no idea about this.
Okay.
And so this film kind of introduced me to what happened. And then I went and did my research, watched some interviews. And I'm like, these were boys, like actual boys. And this is when white people, this is the difference. White boys are boys. White boys are men.
Wait.
Like they're black, just black boys. Black, so yeah, black boys don't get given the innocence of being children. Mm-hmm. And that to me is horrific. And I started crying, not because, I started crying because I was thinking about like being a parent to a young black boy. Mm-hmm. And there was one of the mothers in the show was like, if they come, because Trump was talking on the news, and I love that Ava put it on the show that, you know, these people, we should call the, we should bring back the death penalty. Yep. He bought an ad out on the newspaper, we should bring out the death penalty. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was just like,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
What?
Yeah. It's a whole, and the thing is that people look back on it and they look back on the things and think to themselves, oh, this much hasn't changed since then. Or even when you look back on it, you can, I think if you look at any justice system, especially in the West, in here and the US or whatever, you can see how messed up it is. And you're just trying to think to yourself, like, how, like when I look at it, how was it even, how has that been the one thing that hasn't changed?
Mm.
Over all of the time that,
all
you know,
the progress,
you know, all the progress that we have, like, how has it not moved with the times? Like, if you're going to put somebody in prison, is it not to rehabilitate them, or is it to punish? And you know what I mean? Like, it's what, obviously you've got to depend on what the crime is, the alleged crime is, or whatever. Like, you've got this whole thing about CBD oil and hemp, like, and it's a growing industry in the UK or whatever, but people have weed. And they're getting detained. And you just look to yourself, like, people are out here profiting
off of it,
but then you're criminalizing people that have it.
The law is anything.
And I think, then I'm like, are you going to change the law then? Because it's moving with the times. Because now people are taking CBD oil or hemp or all of that stuff legally, quote unquote.
And some people are serving life sentences.
And some people are serving life sentences for having it.
But I think it's all about, like, power, right? Yeah, like, it's all about power. Like, it's all about, like, legal, what is legal and legality is what somebody in power says it is.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at, what's that man's name who was taking cocaine in the Conservative Party?
Oh my God.
Right. Forgot his stupid name. That one there.
Michael Goat.
That's the one right there.
So I was scratching my nose.
To me, it's like these white boys and who've been doing the drugs, and it's not even like I apologize for doing the drugs when I was 10, 20, whatever. In the city, anywhere you go, they're continuing doing it. But these are the same people that will look on young black men getting involved in criminal activity because of poverty. They're trying to make ends meet, and feed their children, wives, kids, themselves in such a world. And they'll look down on them and think, oh, you know, look at that. Hood ratty behavior.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas you're doing it just, you know, in a 5-star hotel.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to you, that is illegal. But what you're doing is extracurricular.
Yeah. And you can come in the news and say, oh, yeah, I did that.
Yeah. And everything is going to be okay.
Yeah. Because it's.
And at the crux of it, it's racism.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting because we just want to see racism as like pertaining to color discrimination, white man on the road, oh, you fucking nigger. Sorry, but had to be said. But we don't see it in these other contexts. That's now, you might not have Andy calling you a nigger on the road. But the fact that the media and people judge individuals differently according to the background that they've had, the upbringing that they've had, the color of their skin is despicable. If these boys had been white boys, that woman, oh God, that stupid woman, oh my God, I hate her guts, who literally was like the head of like the sexual investigations department or whatever, would have seen the humanity in these boys, would have seen that they're just boys who were in the park causing a ruckus, would not have linked boys who were 14 to the murder of a white woman running down the road. And I saw something that said it took the compassion of an actual killer to come forward for these men to be exonerated. Even mm-hmm. then, it took how many years afterwards for them to come out, because the people were still like contesting it after someone had done said, I did it.
Yeah. See, this is it. And I'm just like,
they're like, nah.
But this is why I think when I heard that it was coming out, I read up on the story. It's something that I want to watch. I'm very sensitive. Very sensitive. Yeah. By the things I watch, things I write, kind of things like, and I will feel it. It's not something that I kind of want to sit with.
Yeah.
And I feel like those things are harrowing as well. It's kind of why I stopped watching Queen Sugar for a little bit, because...
I've never watched it.
But yeah, it's one of Ava's TV series as well. Mm-hmm. But like nothing to do with her, but there was just some scenes in it that were like... Because obviously they're in the South, and then the racism, but the racism is no longer as explicit as it used to be. It's very business, you know what I mean? And it's all about kind of ownership and all that stuff, and it was just really awful for me to kind of watch. And I just, because it just felt really like shit, like black people just can't have anything. You know what I mean? And without spoiling too much about the show, there were some people in there, a black family, there was a mistake, I think it was a mistake about the plot of land they have, and then the plot of land that they owned, which was a sharecrop land that the black family owned, surrounding it by this big white man's an old from a colonial family. He owned around it. So he wants the land,
that land,
because obviously he wants to complete
the
thing, and it's just all of that stuff, so it's really crazy. But so that's When They See Us. And if you want to watch Queen Sugar, go ahead.
I would say also watch the interview with Oprah and the boys and the men. It was just... It was a lot.
Yeah. I'm not really watching anything, so I've got not much to report on that. I've just watched Caught Up with Designated Survivor.
Yeah.
In their final season.
Nice.
And that's it.
Sweet.
So guys, make sure that you rate, review and subscribe. Catch us on the socials. Get your tickets for the London Podcast Festival on Thursday the 12th.
The 12th, not the 19th.
Get your tickets. The link is all over our Twitter page. Go for it and get it. And we'd love to see you at King's Place. It's not one to miss. Make sure that you come to that show.
Yeah.
That's all we have to say on that.
Fabulous.
All right, guys, have a great week.
Peace.
See you soon.
Bye.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.